February 4th, 2021, 4 days into a history of celebrating Black History Month. You know, I think every month should be history, just general conversation. And for what we don't know is our darkest secret. And what we do know is our mortal soul. You can write the tale of a book just by listening. I have yet to understand the reason for the hate in society. But yet, these people that I listen to, these historians, claim to know history better than the people. And I hear compliments about it. I hear comments about it on the media. I hear comments about it on the social media. I see it on Instagram. I see it on Facebook. And the thing that amazes me, the thing that really sets me esteemed, is where is that same conviction, that same fire, that same will? Where is that when monuments are being destroyed, buildings are being burned, a 75-year-old man died during the riots, and the government doesn't care to answer up for it? Where is that? Where is the truth in what Martin Luther King said? If Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream," he must admit he had a big dream. And the ones who sit back and watch it happen, that's the thing. You sit back and watch a 75-year-old man die, you're guilty of murder. So is the people in the government. The government doesn't care about innocent lives at the hands of Antifa, at the hands of any big group that's been created. And the problem with that is that these groups are getting away with manslaughter, murder, reckless endangerment, disobeying law enforcement, disorderly conduct, while they sit back in their homes in gated communities and allow this to happen. So, for not once, but three times, did I hear people say, "Well, there's no such thing as peaceful protest, because we don't want peaceful protest if we're not getting what we want." Well, excuse me. Children don't get what they want when they want it because their mommy and daddy didn't get it for them. Children get the opposite of what they want. And if what they want is attention, then I'm going to give you some attention. It's called a belt and a spanking when you don't listen. Destroying property, killing people, is not an answer to our problem. If we want to have a civil discourse, then conversation is where it starts. You, me, at a table talking about the issues of today. Not you, me, and 600 other people destroying a town, killing innocent bystanders, and trying to make a mockery out of common sense. It doesn't work like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I am persuaded by Martin Luther King's speech, "I Have a Dream." I'm also persuaded by one woman who sat on a bus and got arrested for not moving from a seat. And it just it just incenses me to think that we're going backwards in time. We're not going forwards in time, because if we're going forwards in time, these things would not be happening. Common sense would actually make sense. Illogical media has created a disconnect from logical media. It's not about one life, it's about all lives mattering. It's about having unity, equality, and respect for all people, all races, all creeds, all ethnicities. And if you are one of these who sits back and lets it happen, you are just as guilty as the ones down the street, the ones up the road, and the ones right next door to you. You are guilty of your own crime. The crime being hate. Remember, hate is the devil's game. Hate wins when you allow the devil to take over your life. Hate wins when the devil can seep in just a little bit of animosity and destroy common sense. If I was to ask you to listen to one thing, I'm going to ask you to listen to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, courtesy of YouTube. And I want you to listen because it is the most passionate call for unity and equality you will ever hear outside of others. I want you to hear this message because it is a clear message to everybody across America, around the world, that this is a time for change. This is not the time for madness, unreasonable unrest, destruction of property, destroying life and liberty, and not taking care of family values. We're brothers and sisters, and if we start maiming each other, we're going to have nothing left. Stay tuned. I got more. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'm going to play this sound bite. It's the complete. Yes, it is from YouTube. Thank you to YouTube. It is the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech. It aired on August 28th, 1963. Dr. King was doing the March on Washington, and a lot of people, millions of people, came from around the world and saw it. Millions around the world on television, and they heard this man speak, and I want you to hear it now.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today traumatized a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds.
Actually, I have to agree with him because the check has come back insufficient. But it's not by us. It's not. It's by the political party. See, the problem with politics in today's society is people don't listen. They don't care to listen. Reasonable people have reasonable conversations about everything that matters. Nothing's going to shake that promise. Other people who don't want to listen, don't have reasonable values, don't have moral core, don't care what other people say, so they're not going to listen. That's the sadness of this whole thing. We are treated as we see, as we know. The I Have a Dream speech was a very powerful weapon, and it was used to unify a country. This speech is like everything else I've listened to. The wrongs of one reflect on everybody. If the country cannot pull together in a time of moral despair, then this country will never come together again. You can listen to the whole speech. You can pick and choose the words. You can do everything else. But at the end of the day, you cannot pick and choose how Martin Luther King said it. He said it with conviction. He said it with valor. He said it with honesty. He spoke the words that meant everything to him. And to anybody out there listening right now, you will not be the first and the last to hear this speech. This speech will go on in a decade from now. This speech will be repeated at every school in America, every Bible study in America, because Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Martin Luther King, knew the price of freedom. So, I hope that when you're finished listening to this speech, I hope that you come back and you say, how could we have gone so wrong as a people? There's many more things I'm going to state during this podcast, so just plan on listening to the whole thing. Stay tuned.
But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negroes' legitimate discontent will not pass until there is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 63 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. Nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred.
Amen to that. I'm sorry, I gotta stop it right there. A lot of people in America, in major groups, have been doing that exact thing, and he just said it. Do not drink from that cup of bitterness and hatred. That's what destroys America. You, as a people, we as a community must recognize, report, and tell the truth to the people. We're no better or worse if we stand together in unity and in harmony and come out against hate. We need to unify as a people and say hate no longer lives here. We need to stand up and say that using a political battle stone of racism to win elections does not happen on this platform or happen in the media. We need to yank the cord that these media tycoons have so often held on to, because they're the ones creating the hate. They're the ones creating the injustice that you, the voter, you, the listener, you, the person who goes out every day and works hard for the money that you earn, who wants to be recognized as an equal opportunity person, who wants to build a business, who wants to have a dream, who wants to know the right from the wrong, and who wants to be one with everybody, who wants to be recognized as a person, not as a race or as in color, but as a person. That is not the way we do this. This hatred has to stop. And we have to start recognizing people for people. Everybody's human. Man is man, woman is woman. Love does not have a gender identity. Stop identifying and stop using hate as a way to gain understanding or privilege. Just listen. If understanding is a quality of life, then we're on a big milestone of life.
We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And They have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only.
And there's another problem. That is that we have become a label. We have labeled everything we do in America. It's not just a label on you. It's not just a label on me. It's a label on everything. We are labeled because we allow these pioneers of social injustice to continue to work in our government. I am very, very disappointed. I mean, disappointed not just in the way, but in how undisciplined these groups are. Antifa, one of them. If you promote violence, if you cannot be disciplined and fight on a higher plane of peace and prosperity and common sense, we have nothing. We are just as unjust and unfair as the next person. And if we do not call out racism or Marxism or communism or whatever it may be, we will never win. We as a people need to understand that there is justice and then there is unfair, unwavering justice. There is good cops, then there is bad cops. And it is those good cops that we need to look to in times of need and necessity and talk about. We need to understand that our lives mean more to us if we keep our freedoms. And if we understand that we cannot let radical, extremist views cloud, and I mean cloud, our judgment. We have to obtain an understanding of life, liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness for all of us. We need to get rid of the labels. We need to get rid of the hatred in America. We are no better when we are hating each other, killing innocent people, throwing rocks, burning buildings, and destroying property than when we are not listening. When you're not listening, you're not understanding. And when you're not understanding, you really, truly do not understand his message. His message talks of discipline, talks of unity, talks of walking together in unity, talks of calling out injustice, calling out racism, calling out these leaders who have done this before. We have one sitting in the White House right now. He is racist. He is unjust to the seat that he sits in. And to everyone who thinks that it is a lost cause to fight, you are wrong. It is a good time to listen, to understand what other people are saying about the man that sits in that Oval Office. His mistakes are his undoing. He has not apologized for his comments. His comments have destroyed the very fabric, not just the very essence, but the very fabric of our system. We cannot move forward if we do not call out the wrongs of high-powered people. We cannot change if we do not focus and call out the wrongs of these people in the White House. We are guilty of our own crime when we ignore the comments, the labels. We need to address the hate when it happens. We need to tell these people that this is unacceptable. And we need to tell big media like CNN, Fox News, whatever media outlets are out there, that their commentary, whether it be fair or not, is unfair to those who seek truth. We need to tell fake media like Jim Acosta and all those that their reporting is hurting the very fabric of humanity. They're destroying the humanity of life. Raids, burning buildings, stuff like that, and it's not covered in the media. But one thing that was covered, which I find very astonishing, which I'll tell you after this.
We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Equal, he said. He said equal. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't hear anybody saying that. But I know it's true. I know that everybody out there on social media, on Instagram, across the world is equal to me. No one is better than me. No one is more favorable than me. We are all created equal, and we must show equality in this time of need. We must show unity. We must show common sense. We must build values that never falter and never fail us. Our values are what lead us into the light. Our values make us successful in today's world. Not crashing buildings, killing people, committing violent acts of injustice, but coming together as a community, removing the labels, understanding who we are as a people. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a key. We are all equal in God's eye, and God created us in His own unique, special way. He has said, love His fellow man, and we must love each other. We must commit to each other in the most impersonable way to make a point of equality. To bare our souls and say that what is going on in America is wrong. To say that for the wrong that is happening in America, we stand together and we unify in the message. We unify for justice, we unify to stop labels, and we unify to call out big government liars. Big politicians who have done this to us. If we do not call them out, we will never see the end of dishonesty. Dishonesty has ruined, not burned, but ruined our common core values. Our values of respect, love, understanding, appreciation, and showing actual commitment to each other. Humanity is falling apart, and there's one to blame. It's the government and the media. There is no reliable source of information if we do not stand and we do not call out the wrongs of our government. The man I'm talking about, he's sitting in the White House in the Oval Office. He was on the Breakfast Club. He made a statement that was very unprofessional, and his comment didn't garner half as much attention as what the other president garnered, and is wrong. Really, it is wrong to not call him out. You ignore one statement because of one man that you hate. I'm still trying to figure out why you hate him. See, that's the thing. Hate is a funny thing. Hate is the devil's demon. The devil's seed. The devil's spawn, as I like to say. And it spawns more than just one type of hate. The person who hates can hate no more because he does not know why he hates. He just hates. A group of people willing to do anything to make a statement, bust windows, burn buildings, kill innocent people, try and maim a man to make a statement, try to destroy a federal courthouse, try to put comments, spray paint spray on somebody's house, try to examine why this is happening. And I can tell you why it's happening. Because of a label created by the media. Not just by the media, but by the people who let the media do it. The problem with this is that when we do not talk about these issues, when we do not discuss these issues, when we overlook these issues, ladies and gentlemen, these issues of humanity, these issues of equality, these issues of understanding, these issues of confidence, they allow this government, this entourage of hate, that is being created allows this to happen. And if you, as an American citizen, you, as a person, cannot stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. Why are you doing this? What is the message? Destruction of personal property? Injustice? You're being just as unjust as the people who started this war and have carried it through the last 4 presidents. See, it is not one party line. It is multiple parties. They have abused humanity. And we've allowed it to happen. We've not called it out. We've not said it's wrong. And we won't focus on it. It is not how you look at somebody. It is how you act. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Be kind to the ones around you and treat them as you would want to be treated by everybody else. Don't be somebody who's going to destroy stuff just because you didn't get your way. A child who is raised properly understands right from wrong. It is wrong to destroy buildings. It is wrong to create hate. It is wrong to ignore somebody for saying something. But what is more wrong than that is the fact, just the simple fact, that we do not face our problems. We let our problems build. Stay tuned. I got more after this.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day.
And that is the truth. We should always, and I do mean always, look at the things going on around us. I heard a story a long time ago that said that for every unfair thing out there, there's something even more unfair about life. It's when government takes over. It's when we allow big government to come into our lives, tell us how to live. And for that, we are just as guilty as the next man. For that we do not understand, we are just as guilty. But the irony of it all is that we allow it to happen. I have not heard one comment or one statement to change anything. We fight, we bicker back and forth, we say words we shouldn't say, we do things we shouldn't do, we destroy property, we cater to the whims of poor people who share hate. But we don't answer for our problems. We pass them along. Yeah, we're good. We're good at passing a problem. We elect a man who has, in current times, made comments that would be, to me, very uncouth. Very unpresidential. But yet, we don't call them out. No. We don't even ask for why. We simply accept it. Now, I personally would not accept hate as a way of gaining peace. I think that there is far more better ways of handling a peace deal. I think we need to understand that we are not one of the fortunate or few who are proud to represent America by destroying our America. That is not the way to win. I'm calling for unity. I'm not calling for destruction. I will not call for destruction. I will call for unity. I want peace. I want prosperity. I want America. I want humanity to prosper. But we got to put a stop to big media. We got to put a stop to labels. And we got to stand up and say, hey, this is enough. Stop using one person or one race to demonstrate your power over the top of us. It doesn't work like that. If we are to be equal, then we need to stand and show equality. We need to help our brothers and sisters when they're down. We need to get better to know who we are. And one of the things that we can do as a community is say, you know, really, honestly, I don't need your help. I want real people to help me. I want real life. If someone's going to hand me a check, someone's going to hand me a dollar bill and say, build a business, or hand me a dollar bill and say, let's make this happen, I'm going to look at you and say, make what happen? Because we got to do it together. We've got to achieve the greatest harmony together. We have to do things differently than others before us. We are not simply just a bunch of numbers. We are people. And we cannot live on a prayer. We have to live in reality. And reality is if we keep destroying our own greatest commodity, we will have no prosperity. If you keep smashing those windows, you will not have heat. You will have snow in your house. If you keep breaking those doors, you will not have privacy. You will have an open door. And if we keep busting and contributing to burning places, you won't have a home because you burned it up. We need to stop and think about what we're doing as people. We need to also think about what people have said about this. It is our history on the line. It's not just our history. It's everybody's history. And we have to live with it for the rest of our lives. After this ends, I'm going to take a brief break, and I will be right back. And I hope you enjoy the music.
This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Okay, I played that, and I was in there because I wanted to be heard. I want you guys to realize something. Martin Luther King is an idol to me. His family is respected in my book. His speech rings true with me. I think it's more of a oath to the commandments, the Constitution. I think it's more of an oath to that. And you know, if somebody wants to hate, I guess I'm just going to have to face it. This is my podcast. And I give full credit to YouTube for helping. I give full credit to Mr. King. I mean, he was an amazing man. That speech garnered over 50 billion hits in its time, and it still garners hits people still use it to make a statement or to try and promote unity. I don't know how many listen. I don't know how many really care to listen. But I am truly amazed at the velocity of which we move. I was a kid, and when I was a kid, I learned a long time ago, there is no such thing as labels. I was wrong. Now we have them. You hear children talk nasty to little children in the playground, and you ask, how could they be so crude to an innocent child? How can they say something so mean to an innocent 5, 4, 3-year-old child? And it's another child saying it. And it's because that child doesn't know that it's wrong. He has to look to his mommy and daddy for guidance. But if his mommy and daddy share those type of views, that child picks it up. And it's not the fault of the child. The child is only doing what his parents have done. See, we choose to blame the children for the mistakes of us. Parents choose to blame their children for their mistakes when they are disrespected. It's only with some, not all, okay? So don't go saying I'm saying that you're a bad parent, please. That is not the case. There is some parents out there that choose to blame their children when they do something that they know is wrong in front of them. You make the mistake. Children like copy machines when they're young. You do it, so they figure it's okay for them to do it. How is that saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander? And if you're going to do it, if you do it, and then that means that your child has the right to do it. It's just that way. Common sense. It doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter where you come from. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, and the gander gets it more often than the goose. But at the same time, I want to put some values out there that I have. Don't use labels to try and understand people. Don't use philosophy or an unjust comment to try and change what goes on. And don't turn a conversation into a political hack job. Because you're taking away our morals when you're always talking about morals. You find children to be remarkable things. Their minds are just developing and they're picking up every single word you say. And so, I want to leave you guys with this. I won't have children in my time. I won't have any children. I will not have children because I'm 33 years old and I'm gay. And I don't think I want children. In all honesty, my need for kids is not there. I'll take care, I'll watch, I'll listen, I'll try and give my best advice, but I don't want kids because that is a higher responsibility than what I'm wanting right now or in the future. I am positive that with time, we will heal all wounds. but I'm also positive that I don't want hate in America. I don't want hate to be the capital of America. Our justice system has to be fixed, yes. Our understanding of life and liberty and prosperity for all has to be fixed, yes. But what also has to be fixed is the ability to listen. If we cannot listen, we will never fix any of the issues in America. And that's where fixing the issues comes in, is good listening and communication. If you can say hi to somebody and not label them, you're on your path to unity. If you can stop a protest and start a conversation, you're on a path to unity. If you can stand up for our rights, our Constitution, and believe that all men and women and children are created equal, you're on your way to understanding and confidence. Be very confident about yourself, because no one can be more confident than you. And I tell everybody, peace, love, and long life, because life only gets shorter as you go along. Tomorrow is not a promise, and next week is never guaranteed, and next year, you don't know if you're going to make it. So let's do some talking. Let's change the hate tone of America to love, friendly, conversation tone. Because we all are created equal in our own very special way. From life to liberty to justice for all. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and I hope that you take some time to pass this along. Because I have some very exclusive commentary during his speech, Martin Luther King. I want to say thank you to YouTube. I want to say thank you to Anchor for making this podcast possible. And I want to say thank you to all where my podcast is broadcast, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I want to say thank you to all of you. And stay tuned, because I've got more coming. Love, peace, and happiness. Good night, everybody.